Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. We've got a special extra episode for you this week. We were able to connect with Dr. Joe Holley just after he got home from his recent deployment to Mexico Beach, Florida, with the Tennessee Task Force 1 USAR team. That urban search and rescue team had been there for over a week and had been involved heavily in rescue and recovery efforts following the hit of Hurricane Michael on that region. And we had several updates from Joe over the last few weeks, but I thought we'd touch base with him about some of the things that they had happen after we talked to them last, and some of his thoughts about looking back on what they did while they were on this deployment. So check out this upcoming segment, just a short little segment for you, where we touch base with Joe Holley after he got home.
So we got Dr. Joe Holley returning from deployment yet again. He's a popular guy. He always seems to be out there, but he was just telling us how wonderful you take for granted things like hot showers.
And no question about it.
Very happy when you get home, eh, Joe?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hi, guys. It's good to be back. Managed to get a little sleep since I got home, and a couple of really long, very hot showers, which were absolutely rejuvenating.
So when did you get back?
We got in late on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Pretty long drive back in for us.
Oh, yeah. How did things end up there, in case people hadn't been listening in on what you're doing?
So we were actually the last federal task force out of Mexico Beach, and I think part of that was because we had a large contingent of dogs there, both live find and cadaver dogs, and there was an awful lot of search left, you know, left to do. So we also were, I think, based closer to the disaster site than some of the other teams. And as the state kind of ramped up their resources, you know, et cetera, we kind of got past the initial phase of that disaster. The task began transitioning over to local and state teams, who were able to, you know, kind of get back together after disaster and get back in the field. And we had covered the territory basically that had been assigned to us to do our search and all that sort of stuff. So we finished operations, I guess, right at the end of the week, and then, you know, packed up and got out of theater just before the weekend. So that we kind of left it transitioning over to those local and state teams to kind of pick up and keep going. An amazing amount of recovery already underway. It's really impressive how fast those utility crews can put up new telephone poles and string wire. It's an amazing thing to watch. Quite a ballet to get that done. And then
I guess you're pretty used to it down there.
Well, no question about it. And then, you know, cleanup, really pretty impressive as well. A lot of work being done on the 98, the main road through there, you know, clearing all those roads off, beginning to haul away debris, and, you know, seeing more and more of the locals getting back in there and, you know, cleaning up and getting started on sort of putting their own lives and properties back together down there. So, you know, I think the process had transitioned pretty nicely, and things were really beginning to pick up. And it was a pretty impressive community in their response overall. So I'll look forward to a rebuilt and rejuvenated Mexico Beach in just the next couple of years.
Well, that's hard as good at that. But you're making the point that there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, people kind of lose interest after the storm passes, but there's going to be a lot of recovery. And I know DNATs are still out and may be going out to serve the medical needs of the people until the hospital and healthcare infrastructure comes back up. You have any sense of that?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, the DMATs were up and functional pretty effectively by the time we got out of there. And I feel like they'll be going for, you know, weeks to months down there. There's a fair amount of work that'll have to be done on a lot of that healthcare infrastructure. Particularly the hospitals were pretty hard hit. And, you know, they're some of that stuff's not even the hospitals. You know, they just the power lines are down and all that kind of stuff. And they've got to get power restored to those facilities and, you know, start moving patients back in. And of course, all the folks that work there, many of them had significant damage to their own homes and now they have no place to live. And, you know, it's hard for them to come to work when they have no house to go home to and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of different pieces that just affect, you know, folks' ability to get to work and hospitals and that kind of stuff to be able to come back online. So I'm sure they're going to be there for many months to come.
Yeah, that's a big psychological impact. And on that note, I was kind of wondering, you know, the last task you guys were involved in was body recovery, basically. And that's got to be hard on the guys. You know, it's exhilarating when you find a live person, but when you're just digging out dead people, that's got to be hard on the team. How do they do with that once they get home?
Well, I think that is, you know, our view on that is it's part of what we do. And, you know, if we can just bring closure to the folks who are worried about, you know, where their loved one is and what happened to them, we at least can provide some of that. Having said that, of course, it's still a fairly gruesome task. And, you know, it can be very hard on the teams. I think we spend a lot of time making certain that, you know, people are taking care of themselves, that they appreciate the incredibly important positive impact of doing that work. And then once we get home, you know, we have sort of a standard post-deployment screening that we do. And, you know, we get everybody together to do a hot wash on how the entire incident went. What can we learn from it? What can we do better for the next one? And then, you know, we'll continue to touch base with folks now that we're back to make certain that you know, folks don't come down with some minor illness or something like that from an exposure down there, or whether or not there's a, you know, somebody who's having some psychological stress from that work as well. So, you know, all that's part of the post-deployment monitoring that goes on to keep an eye on the teams and the dogs and all the members, of course.
Yeah, that's good to know. Well, I hear Hurricane Wilma, or Willa, I guess it is as we speak, hitting Mexico with the same kind of force that we had with the last one here. Any chance that VMATS might, or USARB or other FEMA teams may be going down there?
I haven't heard any requests as of yet. I am not totally up to speed on that storm. And last I heard, it was not terribly close to a very heavily populated area. But nevertheless, it is a very powerful storm, and I'm sure there'll be some impact down there. So if there's going to be requests for assistance, I expect they'll be coming in the next day or so.
Well, I hope you get a break. I'm sure you could use one. You've been pretty busy this hurricane season. So, Jamie, thoughts on your half?
Well, first and foremost, I'm glad you and your team are home safe. And that's important. You guys had a lot to deal with down there. I think it was really interesting to be able to touch base with you over the last couple of weeks off and on to get a sense of what it was your team was doing. And really, actually, some of the amazing stories, the anaphylaxis case you ran into, the cardiac case you ran into, where you were dealing with more standard medical emergencies, that your team was able to deal with because they were deployed. So I think that was an interesting take on things. So I just, you know, as an overview, it's good to have you guys home and safe. And while not necessarily ready for the next one, you know, home safe and getting ready for the next one. So,
well, I certainly appreciate that, Jamie. You know, that makes me think, speaking particularly of that anaphylaxis case that we took care of, how much harder that was to take care of, not really the medicine, but from an infrastructure standpoint. You know, those folks the patient there and her family had called 911 for an ambulance, and basically it was going to be an hour before anybody was going to get to them. And so, you know, of course, they're trying to make their way to some place, but traffic is terrible and there's no street lights and traffic lights and it's all backed up. And, you know, they run into a police officer who happens to flag us down. And then, you know, because there is no EMS transportation, we're transporting the patient in a police vehicle, which subsequently runs over a downed street light and gets a blowout. And we have to change vehicles yet again. So, you know, just a whole series of hurdles just to get that patient to the hospital, which of course was severely impacted and you know, functioning on a generator and, you know, basically all the stuff that was happening once we got there. So, you know, disasters make things so much harder to get done because that infrastructure is so impacted. And, you know, that sort of goes back to the stuff we talk about all the time, and that you got to be thinking 3 and 4 steps ahead on how to get things moving and understanding that things take a long time in those situations, and anything we can do to make a difference truly does make a huge difference.
Well, I know you got to run, Joe, so we'll let you go, but, you know, just take care of yourself, and you're our hero. We're glad you were out there. You and your teams do great work.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, Sam. It's great to talk to everybody and get a quick update in, and I'll look forward to catching up with you guys on the next one.
And I want to thank you all for checking out this short special segment here for the Disaster Podcast. Again, a special thank you to Paragon Medical Group for their continued support of the show. And we want to thank Joe and Jim and the rest of the team there for sponsoring the Disaster Podcast. Make sure you check them out. Head over to disasterpodcast.com and click the link for Paragon Medical Education Group, or you can go directly to paragonmedicalgroup.com and check out their information on how you can find out what it takes to bring them into your system. It's not as much as you think. Really need to touch base with them and have them create that perfect customized disaster preparedness training program for your jurisdiction or system. That's it for me. I want to go ahead and thank everybody for checking out this episode and remind all of you that, as always, when we hear these types of things about deployments and disasters in the field, that disaster medicine is not your everyday medicine.